Welcome to Fellowship Talks, your weekly connection to the life and ministry of Fellowship Bible Church. It is our desire that this podcast will reinforce your worship on Sundays and encourage you as you live your life for Christ this week. Here are your hosts, Dan Schaefer and Amy Scrivanos.
Well, welcome to Fellowship Talks. This is the podcast made specifically for Fellowship Bible Church in Central Arkansas. We're one church in multiple locations. We have campuses in Cabot, Benton, soon to be Midtown, West Little Rock, and our Espanol campus here in West Little Rock. I'm your host for Fellowship Talks, Dan Schaefer, and I'm here as always with my co-host, Amy Scrivanos.
Hello, everyone. Thanks for joining us.
How are you doing today, Amy?
I'm great.
Good, good. Hey, we're in a season here at our church where we've been talking about hospitality a lot. Mm-hmm. We've had block parties all over the city. Yeah, in fact, my wife and I just got done doing a block party. We showed a movie in our neighborhood and had some of our neighbors come and participate in that with us and got to know some of our neighbors through that. We had family fest at multiple campuses of Fellowship as we invited our neighborhoods in. And we had Dustin Willis, who wrote the book, The Simplest Way to Change the World, come in. Today is something special.
Yeah, it really is. I think this has been a great conversation for our church to have, for us to each consider what is hospitality? What does that look like? What's the heart behind it? And so I'm really excited about today's conversation.
That's right. So as you're listening to this podcast, you may remember a few months ago, earlier this fall, when we showed a video during our sermon on Sunday during the Making Space series. Our story team here at Fellowship made a video demonstrating one of the couples in our church who practices hospitality. And so Rob and Teresa Hernandez is their name now. You'll hear more on that in just a second. Rob and Teresa Hernandez were part of sharing their story in this story team video. And our story team did a great job putting this video together.
They really did. And I'm excited just to visit with Rob and Teresa today and just hear more from them on their heart for hospitality, what that's looked like in their home and in their lives.
That's right.
And just to get to share that.
So we're gonna let you listen to that video now, because what Rob and Teresa say is so great in that video. So you can listen to it now. You can also, we want to encourage you to go back to our website for our church and look up that video and watch that too. If you go to the drop-down menu and you go to messages, and then underneath that, there's stories, and that's where our story team posts their videos. So go there and check that out. But right now, just sit back and listen to the audio of this story team video of Rob and Teresa.
It was really hard for me to get over the fact that I didn't have like the perfect home, or I might not have had matching dishes or cloth napkins, or I didn't really know how to cook that well. And so I just thought it was too much, it was too hard. And then we realized that hospitality really isn't about any of that.
I think the deeper reason that we feel like we have to impress is that we're afraid of being really known and being vulnerable. By having people into your home, they're seeing you. They're seeing how you live, how you interact with each other, how you treat your kids, how you live your life. And I think that was a barrier for a long time, is just being afraid of being known, being vulnerable with people.
We go back years, and why did we want to have community and intimacy at our table? I think it's what we really wanted was just to experience more of God, experience His presence. He lives in the hearts of all of us. We always think about, what if we could create a table that's filled with laughter, supply good food, create an environment where people can be known and can be heard, listened to. Everybody wants to be known and to be loved. Can we do that one night? Mm-hmm. Put yourself aside and invest in the people, your guests. And it's addicting.
I think being in a home environment just feels safe. It feels protected, it feels warm, and people, they're not inhibited to share, and they're not afraid, well, if they touch that pain deep inside of them, there might be tears.
you're kind of going to dance around that usually. If you're out in public, you're going to kind of stay far away from that pain because you don't want to make a spectacle of yourself. It's a more comfortable environment for that.
Discipleship happens through intimacy. And so to be able to use our home, to use coffee, to use food, drinks, that's where discipleship happens, the deeper conversations. The scriptures say to practice hospitality. It doesn't say to be perfect at it or to be good at it, to be the best at it. So we continue to practice it. I think we continually look for ways to improve hospitality and how to get better at it. We've literally found burnt rolls in the oven that we forgot to serve. And we throw them in the garbage in laughter because who cares? What happened at the table is what we're still talking about, what we're still savoring. Do you remember what he said about his journey with God? Things like that. And I think that's the difference between practice and entertainment versus hospitality. Hospitality doesn't care about the roles. The connection between hospitality and the gospel is Jesus could have loved us just as much from a distance, but he chose to come and be with us because he desired intimacy with us. I know he did, and I know that's what he continues to want from us. And I think when we practice good hospitality, it involves intimacy. And when intimacy happens, people are known. The gospel's lived out. I want to see more of God, feel more of his presence through his people. It can happen at the table.
Rob, Teresa, it is so good to have you guys with us here at Fellowship Talks. Thanks for being with us today.
Thank you for having us.
I love being back here in the cave. This is awesome.
Yeah, this is really good. You know, our recording engineer, Dave Youngman, just finished this great cedar sound recording thing that I don't know much about what its purpose is, but it looks awesome back here and it smells good too. So if you ever have a chance to see us here in Fellowship Talks, you can see this little cedar board that he made. It's really cool. Mm-hmm. When I was starting off this podcast, I mentioned that your guys' name is Rob and Teresa Smith, and I misspoke because your name is Rob. Your names are Rob and Teresa Hernandez, but I was right about 5 years ago. Yeah. Your name 5 years ago was Rob and Teresa Smith. Mm-hmm. So tell us a little bit about what that's because you got a story there.
Yeah, Teresa always defers to me because it was through my childhood that I was raised without a father. He was a Smith, but my mother was a little Mexican lady who only had an eighth grade education, Lucille Evangelina Hernandez. And when our dad left us, three kids, he didn't leave her anything, no money, didn't send her any help. So she had to go to work. She worked three jobs to make ends meet. And growing up, I always just had a chip on my shoulder, no father. I wanted a dad so bad in all regards to teach me how to tie a tie, change a tire, come to my ball games, but he wasn't there. And so my mother came down with cancer when I was off to college my freshman year, and it took her life in about 4 months. I remember at her funeral thinking, I'm going to honor you, Mom, in some way. You worked so hard. She never said a bad word about our dad. She was always just so uplifting. But she never told us the truth either, so that was kind of hard. But on her funeral day, I remember saying, I'm going to honor you in some way. I went off to college at Boise State, and it came to me. I said, that's it. I'm going to take her last name, her maiden name, Hernandez. I went to the courthouse and asked the guy at the front desk about proceeding, and he looked at me and said, hey, young man, that's a dumb idea. That's a lot of paperwork. You don't want to do that. Social Security, you know. And I walked out going, oh, I thought that was a good idea. And I didn't have enough. I was too naive to maybe consult some other people. And so I went on with, guess that's not happening. And throughout my life, I'd always bring it up and just always remember my mom and what a great woman she was. Mm-hmm. My children were home for Thanksgiving, our two sons, 5 years ago this Thanksgiving. And it came up again, and my oldest son touched on it, and he said, Dad, you always talk about that. Why don't you just do it? And I was like, oh, it's too late now. And then he said, Jake, would you do it? And Jake said, I'd do it. And then our oldest son said, why don't we all do it? And it kind of brought me to tears. I thought, you guys would do this? You really would? And so we all did it. And they're in Nashville, Tennessee, and we even found a lawyer, a friend of ours, that said, I'll do it for free. And so we all changed our names.
Oh, that's an amazing story.
Just to honor my mom, yeah.
Yeah, I love that your boys were all for that as well and encouraged that. That's just so sweet that your whole family changed your name.
And it really gives you a glimpse into their heart, too, the heart of this family that Rob and Teresa have, and why our story team made a video with them around hospitality. They really have a heart to practice hospitality, and it's seen. So we wanted to have a conversation with you guys today around hospitality, some of your experiences with hospitality. Teresa, what is hospitality? How would you define hospitality?
I think Rob and I were talking about this morning. I woke up with, why is it that we have such a passion for hospitality? Like, where did that come from? Like, where did that originate from? And I think we have to go back to the story that he just said. It's from our childhood. It's from not having that family dinner time. We didn't have meals together. We both come from broken homes, and we both suffered great loss. We felt like orphans. We grew up, you know, alone. We don't today have a lot of family around us, and so we saw hospitality modeled by some of our friends, and that was an opportunity to have people in and have that deeper conversation and a place that you could be loved and known and welcomed. And I think we got a taste of it early on in our marriage, and we said, we want more of that. And so somehow we've got to generate, how can we make that happen on a more consistent basis? Because our souls are hungry for it. And so that, I think that's what began our journey of seeking the deeper meaning of hospitality.
And we found that hospitality, the root word is hospice, which is where hospital comes from. It's a place where people are cared for. So that got us excited when we learned the meaning, the root
word. So we came from a place of very brokenness. Like, we were the ones needing the healing. And we still need healing. We still, when we have people in our home, they leave and we go, oh, our souls are filled up too. Theirs might be, but ours is even more.
Yeah.
Now, you guys aren't originally from Little Rock. How long have you been in Little Rock? How long have you been a part of Fellowship Bible Church?
So we moved here from Idaho in 2000. So we've been here at Fellowship for 18 years.
18 years. Yeah. All right. Awesome. Now, I want to go back to the video that our story team made, because they did a great job. But one of the things that I've heard a few times as this video has been shown goes back to the very first thing that you said, Teresa, in the video, is hospitality is not about having a perfect home. And then in the video, we see this immaculate, well-put-together, fancy dinner served home. Let's talk about that for just a second.
Gosh, I wish we could rewind and show our home 20, 30 years ago. We've been married 36 years, and I wish that we could have shown our home then. Somehow been able to fast forward the years of how that has evolved. I think there's just different stages in life that hospitality can look different. It doesn't always look all nice and pretty.
I think that's so true. That's one of the things that I remember saying to my mom one day, because right now she and my dad are in a season of life where kids are grown. It's just the two of them. Her house is always perfectly picked up and neat. And and I remember saying to her, like, gosh, this kind of makes me feel bad. Like, I'm such a mess at my house. And and she was just so sweet to say, like, but don't you remember, like, when y'all were kids, our house was not like this. And just to remind me that, like, it's a season, and your home is where you're living. It's what you're doing. And she's like, yeah, Dad and I just don't make a mess all the time, and it's fine. But just to recognize that, like, even in those seasons when our home feels chaotic, that that's still inviting to people. It's just bringing people in and letting them be a part of what life is for us.
Yeah, and frequently when our small group comes over to our house, they're tiptoeing around toys that our kids have left out or played with, or, you know, food on the floor because we just got finished with dinner and our kids were messy and crummy and we just didn't have a chance to get it all cleaned up yet. One of the quotes that I've seen about hospitality is that hospitality is not about your house, it's about your heart.
Yes.
hospitality is a characteristic of God that we want to portray to an unbelieving world, and even to a believing world. Mm-hmm. But that's where I want people to see your heart here, is that you guys don't believe it's about your house. Your house plays a part in it. It's a tool to be used, but it's really about your heart that you bring up.
Yeah. When I think about the fears that we had starting with hospitality and starting to practice it, it might be, yeah, your house isn't right, or we might not serve the right food, or who's going to lead the conversation. Everybody has different fears. And I think where we got over our fears is understanding our deepest craving, and that is for relationships. And for, I feel like God has hardwired all of us for this emotional connection with one another. And so when we tasted that and experienced that, it took away those fears. Mm-hmm. So I think that's our heart, Dan and Amy. It's from God. He hardwired it. We just needed to see it happen, and then now we want more of it.
What are some of those fears you guys had to work through or are still working through?
Oh, gosh. Just depends on the day. I'm the queen of fear. Probably, what am I going to cook? What are we going to talk about? I can always look to Rob because he's so great with questions and intentional conversation.
Let me ask you about that real quick, intentional conversation. How do you lead into intentional conversation without it feeling forced or awkward?
Well, we ask for permission.
We do.
And you can do that tenderly and guide your guests. Here's one. One time we had three couples over. So there'd be four of us for, it was after our Israel trip.
Yeah.
We wanted to reconnect with these three couples. So we sent out an email. Here's what the dinner would look like. And here's three questions to prepare for.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow. Mm-hmm.
And one of the questions, this is really funny. Teresa and I were talking about this morning. One of the questions was, just to loosen everybody up, is we're going to talk about some of the pet names you have for each other.
Oh, gosh.
So the first gal that went, she said, well, let's see. Do you want current pet names or old ones? We're like, well, whatever. And she goes, well, let's see. We've used Buffy, Rover, and Tina. And she thought we meant the names of your pet. And so for the rest of the night, we called her husband Tina.
That's great.
It was so fun.
Oh, my goodness.
That's just an example, I guess, of the intentionality. Mm-hmm. Sometimes even preparing ahead of time with questions and letting your guests know, here's some questions, here's some things, topics we want to talk about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
What other fears have you had to work through, Rob?
Yeah, I think for me, I have to really prepare because I'm a guy that likes to get a lot done. And so Teresa used to get on me. I would want to mow the yard, wash the car, and then, hey, honey, I got 5 minutes. Guests will be here in 5 minutes. I can do this, you know, and run to the shower. And then she'd go, you're not there with me when they come. Yeah. And we had to talk that through, and we realized there's an importance in both of us greeting our guests when they come to the door. Mm. That's a common practice we have now. Mm. We desire that. But my fear is, I don't even know if it's a fear, but trying to get too much stuff done and not making this that we planned for the priority.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Well, I've noticed a few times as you're talking, you keep saying the word practice hospitality. Mm-hmm. You said it in the video that this is a practice. We're not good at it. It doesn't come natural. Tell us about some times when you weren't so great at hospitality, when you were learning in the front end.
Do you want to go back? Do you want to go way back to my first meal that
you
I made for you?
Go way back, and then I'm gonna follow up with another one.
So I guess the first time that I ever tried practicing hospitality, I made a meal for Rob. We weren't married yet, and it was actually the first meal that I ever made for a boy that I liked. So I was extremely nervous. And I had spent the day at his apartment preparing this spaghetti, you know, slow cooking it all day long. I even cleaned his apartment, couldn't wait for him to come home. And so he finally gets home, he comes in and he sits down at the kitchen table, and I proudly, you know, plate up his spaghetti and bring it over to him. And I was so nervous, it slid off into his lap. Like this hot spaghetti went right in his lap. And I was so embarrassed. He was gracious. He got up and changed his clothes, came back, sat down. Take two. I plated his spaghetti, bring it over to him, and it again Boop. Went into his lap. Second time.
No.
Mm. Yeah, and so the third time, I think he went and got his own.
I'll get that.
We'll work on that skill
there
later.
There we go, yeah.
Yeah, but I clearly, you know, I was doing it totally with the wrong focus. I was looking to impress him, you know.
Mm-hmm. Hey, I think another time for us where we really blew it is we wanted to do it. We wanted to have practice hospitality. We said to this couple, come on over. We're going to have dinner. We're going to hang out. We're going to watch a movie. I think we planned too much. And
too late.
Yeah, too late too. It got started too late. But here's how the story ends. Sunday in church, our friends came up to us and said, that was a great time last night. You guys fell asleep early during the movie and we shut down the lights and let ourselves out. And they did.
True story.
We woke up on the floor and they were gone.
Hey, it sounds like they felt very at home.
Right. I guess.
That's right. Well, what's the difference to you guys between hospitality and entertainment?
Yeah.
Yeah, one chooses to impress and the other one chooses to bless. And we've tried to really think that through. And I think how that plays out is we've had many times, not many, but Teresa's going to hit me here, where company has left and then there's some rolls in the oven that are just crispy and we just laugh because... It's not about the roles. I think with...
Are you laughing too, Teresa? Or is Rob more laughing?
Gotta be
I'm
careful.
Probably more mad than laughing. Yeah. Mad at myself for forgetting it.
But I remember laughing and savoring what was said versus what was... What we missed.
I think that's the difference, is getting swept away in the conversation and really being present with the person that's there. And losing track of time, losing track of what you're supposed to be doing next, you know. Entertainment is all about the schedule, you know, the first course and the second course and providing this perfect meal and setting. Where hospitality is more, how can we care for you? How can we help heal those deeper longings in your heart?
You know, Teresa, Rob and Teresa practiced hospitality this morning, even before this recording, by inviting me and Amy over to their house for coffee, for muffins, as we just kind of prepared and talked about this recording a little bit. And Rob demonstrated his intentionality of saying, hey, let's just pause and pray right before we get into this. And then Teresa, you mentioned a verse that was on your mind from Romans this morning. Why don't you share a little bit about that?
I think Rob and I were talking about this thing called hospitality. Does it have to be in your home? Like, do you have to only practice hospitality when you're in a home setting? Or can you take hospitality with you other places? And I think hospitality is broader than our homes. I think we can encounter, when we encounter other conversations and people, are we fully present? Are we letting them know that we're listening? We're all in. We're not distracted. We're contemplating what they're saying and interceding on their behalf. And I came across this verse in Romans 15 where it says, therefore, welcome one another as Christ has welcomed you. And I think that is kind of the attitude of hospitality, is being that welcome place. Even when you greet them at work, someone at work or at church or wherever, the grocery store, do I have that welcoming feel?
I ran across a definition that said hospitality is when someone feels at home in your presence.
You know, that.
It doesn't matter where you are. It doesn't matter whether you're in your home or not.
Hey, Dan, back to intentionality. When I look at 1 Timothy 3:2, the word that jumps out at me is that an elder must enjoy having guests in his home. Titus 1:8 says he must enjoy and love what is good. And then even Romans 12 says take every opportunity to open your life and home to others. When I read this word enjoy, and then we go back to intentionality, I was thinking that you have to ask permission to go some places. And I may ask permission to go deeper with some people, maybe at a table, and even get razzed for it. You might get razzed for it. Oh, Rob's going deeper. Everybody beware. But you can get used to that. But I also think that there's something that's not enjoyable at a table mm-hmm. is when there's 8 or 10 people and you go home being left out of a conversation mm-hmm. because everybody was circling their own conversations and 3 or 4 conversations were going on and maybe you weren't invited into them or maybe you didn't have the context to enter those conversations. So by asking permission, letting everybody speak on that subject, you value everybody at the table. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And then everybody leaves
filled
that they enjoyed it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So tell me about that. Let's get real for a second. How many times have you invited someone over to your home? And during that day, you're just like, man, I wish we didn't have anyone coming over tonight. You know, you read those verses about enjoying it, but how many times do you just not, you have to really work on your heart that day coming to that point?
Yeah, it happens more than I would like to admit. I think there's, we don't ever have enough energy. We don't ever have enough time. We don't, mm-hmm. you know, it's always going to be an inconvenience to some degree. But I know for a fact that because we've made the practice of doing it, we've seen the benefits, and it doesn't matter how tired we were going into it. When they leave, mm-hmm. we're so glad we did. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's like, it's almost like a workout, mm-hmm. you know, going for that run or that long bike ride. Sometimes you just don't feel like getting on the bike mm-hmm. and doing it. Mm-hmm. But after you do, you're so energized and you feel so good.
Yeah, I know there's been plenty of times that Emily and I have invited someone over and we're like, we invite them over and then we look at each other like, why did we just do that? We're not ready for that. Yeah. We don't have any food in the refrigerator.
I think that's so true. And I think I've noticed before too, I can feel that way. I can feel too tired and kind of talking myself out of it right up until yes. they're even arriving. Yes. And then they leave and I'm like, oh, wait, don't go home. I'm enjoying this yes. so much. Like, that's I don't want
good.
You to leave.
That's yes. good,
Amy. There's another quote we were talking about earlier. Hospitality is making people feel at home even if you wish they really were.
Relatives come to mind.
Relatives, that's right, that's right. Why don't you guys paint a picture for people? How often are people in your home throughout the week? I know every week's different, but what does it look like for you guys?
Well, Rob, we have our own coffee shop. It's called My Front Porch. And so he will meet with guys on our front porch once or twice a week, and we might have a premarital couple that's in our home in the evenings.
Don't Google My Front Porch because it doesn't come up. If they invite you to My Front Porch, it really means their house, their front porch.
So does that always involve a meal, or is it sometimes just coffee? And
yeah. Yeah, it can be just coffee and conversation.
So say, we didn't get a meal this morning.
Just well, muffins. We kind of did. We got awesome muffins.
It's a regular thing, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Is it every night?
No, not every night. Oh, my.
No, you got the Cowboys on some nights and the Razorbacks. That's when it's frustrating. Back to your other question, that's when you can go, oh, did we really schedule this? The Cowboys Monday night? Why did we schedule these people?
Hope they're Cowboys fans.
Yeah. But no, I think that can be, you know, any program or whatever. Mm-hmm. Scheduling can be, get in the way and then you're. But, you know, I think this is a good message, what you're talking about, Dan. It happens in D group. We can go, oh, D group tonight. I don't really want to go. And then you go and you're
blessed.
You mm-hmm. stay and you stay and you stay and you love on each other. And I heard a pastor say one time that even when we go into the doors of church on Sunday, we're all wanting to be entertained and we want to critique the pastor and we even critique the worship. He said, come in with your hands open and look into the eyes of people. What do they need? Who do you need mm-hmm. to pray for? Who's hurting? And so I think that can be a message for D group. It can mm-hmm. be a message for hospitality. You're kind of like, oh, this isn't about me tonight. Mm-hmm. I need to get ready to invite and receive people and press into their lives. So, mm-hmm. yeah.
I think one of the things that impresses me as I watch your lives, as I watch you guys live, is that you guys practice hospitality very well, but you also use your home as a place of respite and refuge for yourselves. Mm-hmm. It's a place where you guys hide and spend time with the Lord one-on-one mm-hmm. and where you guys set these boundaries. Why don't you share a little bit about that and the need that you have for time with God?
Yeah, there's no way that we can give to others if we're not first being poured into And so that is a very guarded time, our time with the Lord. We get up early and we'll spend, it's not unlikely that we're 2 hours, you know, with the Lord before anything else happens. It's just a practice that we've established when we first got married. And that's where we refill our tank. And then we know how to recharge. It might be on a bike. It might be washing the car, doing yard work. Mm-hmm. We've always said we've had good boundaries, but lately we haven't been as good because it's getting harder and harder mm-hmm. to say no to people mm-hmm. when they need you. Mm-hmm. So we've had to be more proactive. And
sometimes when we think about hospitality, we mm-hmm. think we need to say yes to every opportunity.
Yeah.
But you were mentioning this morning, Jesus yeah. took refuge in the mountains. He yes. went away. He got time to spend with God.
Yeah. Yeah, we've got to have something to give. Mm. Otherwise, we might go into the entertaining mode. Mm. You know, it might be what they're coming to see my house or my food instead of what kind of lasting food can I give them?
Mm. I also think hospitality takes the two of you. Mm-hmm. I think at one time early in our lives, I wanted hospitality. I wanted to have people over, but I didn't realize that 80% was falling on her.
Yeah.
And I had to reorganize my life to say, okay, I got to help you in this. We got to do this together. So I think for all couples, there's a time when you start to think about how do we do this together? Mm-hmm. And I can run a lot harder than her. And she can look at me and say, we can't have somebody over Friday night. Because I'm running out of energy, and I have to respect that.
And you do that for me. I'll say, can we do this on Saturday? And you're like, let's think about the week. What what did we just come out of? And you're a good keeper of my schedule, too.
Teamwork is important.
Yes, it is. It really is. I think, too, that just that communication with you guys, it's good hearing that and just hearing the ways mm-hmm. that you keep your marriage healthy and your relationship with the Lord healthy so that you do have that to pour into other people and to encourage other people with.
Mm-hmm. And that comes in seasons, right? Our lives are lived in seasons. You know, for me and Emily right now, it's almost reversed. She's at home with the kids, so she feels that need to entertain, to be with other adults, and I come home more worn out. And sometimes I'm just like, baby, we can't, I just need a night by myself mm-hmm. in the house to recharge a little bit. Mm-hmm. And we have to work together on figuring out what that looks like.
Mm-hmm.
So what would you guys say, as we kind of wrap this podcast up, what would you say to someone who's looking to begin practicing hospitality, whether they're single or married, how can they step into this practice of hospitality?
Well, I would say, first of all, take your fears to God.
Mm.
And give those over to him. And then, again, I go back to this craving that we have, a reminder of what really matters in life. What's going to last forever is these relationships. And so we long to be at a table with couples connecting on a deeper level. We just call it intimacy. Mm-hmm. We crave it. We want it.
Mm-hmm.
For some, that can even be your fear that, I don't know if I want to go deep. I'm not good at that. Pray and ask God to help you overcome that,
mm-hmm.
whatever those fears are.
Yeah, I think if we're each honest, that is what we crave. We crave to be known. We crave to be loved, a place to belong. But sometimes we wait for to be invited.
Mm-hmm.
And we need to just initiate. Be the initiator. Be the one that says, come to my house. And I don't know what I'm going to cook or whatever, but come over and initiate. Don't sit back and wait for it to happen because mm-hmm. it will never happen.
Mm-hmm.
So initiate.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's really good.
Hospitality is about creating a space for someone to feel cared for them to feel loved, for them mm-hmm. to feel heard.
Mm-hmm.
That's so good. Rob and Teresa Hernandez, thank you so much for being here with us on Fellowship Talks and sharing a little bit of your life with us, some of your mistakes, some of your triumphs in this, but really just your heart to glorify our Lord through hospitality. It's
You're
been
welcome.
Good being with you guys today.
So welcome.
Thank you for having
Pleasure.
Us.
Pleasure.
Well, as you've been listening to this podcast, I know that it probably brings some stories to your mind of whether you've done well with hospitality or whether you've fallen on your face with hospitality. Why don't you share those stories with us? We'd love to hear them. Email us at fellowshiptalks@fellowshiponline.com. Share those stories with me and Amy. We'd love to hear those. We'd love to share those with others through this podcast. Tell us about how your block parties are going. what that looks like, some of the connections you're making with your neighbors. It'd be really good to hear.
Yeah. Yeah, I hope this was encouraging today. I know it was for me, just hearing from you guys. So thank you so much.
That's right. That's right. Well, until next time, Fellowship, I'm Dan.
And I'm Amy.
For As You Go, this is Fellowship Talk.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Fellowship Talks. We hope this podcast will help you be a more effective disciple of Jesus Christ as you love God and you love others in your daily context. Fellowship Bible Church exists to make disciples who live by God's grace and for His glory at home and across the world.